Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, welcome back to part two of today's Carolla Classics. Chris and Gio here. Let's keep the clips going with a clip from 2014. We're going to hear Adam talking about a certain NPR interview he had.
It's Adam Carolla Show 1329. Adam's already done the angry episode where he came back. Like, they tried to like spring this interview on me and frame me, and the guy was such an idiot. They had clips of Joe Coy doing his various characters and vocal impressions and all the stuff he's really able to do with his background and his skill level and nuance with how he's able to do different accents and things. It's very interesting stuff he's able to do. But they thought it was Adam. They were trying to make Adam a racist. So now they have Joe Coy in studio, and Adam goes, "Hey, can you believe they did this?" And that's what this clip is. It's really great and interesting and nuanced, and Joe has some great points. He's kind of really smart about all this kind of stuff, because I'm sure he's used to hearing it based on how he appears versus like his heritage and stuff, and people like assuming what he is or is not allowed to say as a comedian, which is all kind of BS. Adam Carolla Show 1329, Joe Coy, Bill Courtney, not in this portion, Allison Rosen and Brian Bishop. Again, this is from May of 2014. Check it out.
Good day, Joe Coy.
Hello, sir.
And Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Bald Brian.
What the fuck?
Fireman391 wanted that in honor of our guest today with the hashtag #drop.
That's very nice.
We are going to be at the Irvine Improv May 29th, also Pasadena Ice House, where Joe Coy's he's graced the stage with us many times. That'll be on June 10th. Phoenix coming up. Phoenix Stand Up Live. Bunch of shows. 20th and 21st of June. And me, Richmond, Virginia, doing stand up all by my lonesome. That'll be this Wednesday night. You can go to AdamCarolla.com. You get more tickets and all that stuff. Oh, I'll just probably turn to my right and turn to my left and go, what's in the news? And they'll start throwing shoes at me. Glad Joe Coy is in studio because he's Asian. And
you hate us.
I hate Asians.
You hate us. You hate the Filipinos.
I hate
the Guamanians.
I did a
Cambodians. You can't stand them.
I did.
And you hate flip flops, which we created.
That's racist.
That's racist.
Yeah. No, I know they used to be called Jap flaps back in the
Jap
day.
Jap flaps.
Yeah.
And then my mom had a nice pair of Jap flaps.
They were called Zoris at some point, but I don't know what Zori meant or what it stood for. It
means flip flop.
Oh, it does. No. Yeah. I was doing an article or doing an interview with there's this whole new thing now, and it's not good. It's not good. Oh, Joy.
God.
Oh, what could be wrong with being called Joe?
You all look the same to him.
I mean, it's to the point where we're friends now. I'm not just a guest on the show. I'm
Joe Coy. Just turned into Joy.
He doesn't know his friends' names.
That's right.
Andy.
Seriously. I don't care, see? I was doing an interview with an NPR station in New York, and everything just turns into this ambush thing now. Yeah. And I don't really give a shit I'll get to the bigger question in a second. But it hasn't aired yet. I do not believe the Porcelain Punisher is looking for it. But I went on the guy's show, and he's like, "You have a lot of strong opinions about different nationalities." And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, roll cut one. And it was them playing this podcast with you on it.
Uh-huh.
And you doing Bung Lu Su,
okay,
or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he thought I was doing the voice, and he was saying, "Oh, so you're saying that Asians are blah 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 blah, and you're doing the blah blah blah." And when we're done hearing the 30-second tape of you, I said, "Well, I appreciate you trying to ambush me, but that wasn't me. That's Joe Coy, who happens to be Asian." And the guy muttered, he went, "Well, that helps." Now, we'll see if he has the balls to air it, but I just said, look, it's nice to come in, and I appreciate the attempt at the ambush, but that wasn't me doing a stereotypical Asian voice.
Yeah.
That was an Asian doing a stereotypical Asian voice.
And doing really, really stereotypical.
Yeah, you guys got to do your research next time you try to call me in and call me racist. But there was a Salon article I did, and you know what they do is they just sort of bait you. You know, they go, so you're white and you're male and you're doing comedy, and you feel an obligation to bring up more females, Hispanics and blacks into the comedy world? And I just answer truthfully all the time, right? I just go, no, I don't feel the need to bring in more white people either. I don't think about bringing people up.
Yeah.
I think about if you're funny, Like, I don't go, well, that she's a chick and she's Hispanic, but she's not that funny, but I feel the need to bring her up.
Yeah.
I like to help out people that I think are funny, regardless of what color their skin is or what their heritage is, but I don't look at the different races. And then at a certain point, I said, look, there's no, or there's not many, or there's whatever Asian comedians.
You said, where are the Asian comedians? Maybe there just aren't any. For that matter, where are all the Jewish roofers? What are female comedians doing about the lack of Jewish roofers? I demand answers.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, like, I don't know. There's more Jews who want to do comedy and less Jews who want to do roofing. I don't know. But it's a weird thing, as I was thinking about when the guy's going, don't you feel obligated to bring up more, you know, Hispanics and women and black? Well, first off, I feel like there are plenty of black comedians, and I feel like there's plenty of women comedians out there, per whatever it is. But the point is this. This is a...
Actually, that was very funny.
Comedy's a horrible choice. Career-wise?
The worst.
The worst!
Absolute worst choice.
You would be doing the Hispanic population a tremendous disservice if you said, let's all get into comedy.
Yeah.
Because you'd have a whole bunch of starving artists.
Well, at one time, performing... And show business was kind of relegated to the underclass. It wasn't a desirable thing to do.
But even so,
only the whites could watch Hispanics perform.
What percentage of people who go out to become stand-ups or to make a living in comedy actually make a good living in comedy versus dental hygienists? The people who set out to be dental hygienists, probably 50% of them become dental hygienists. In comedy, it's less than 1%. So the notion that I should be helping people get into a profession that doesn't pay is insane, number one. Number two, what do you mean helping? I don't know who helped me. I was poor. Like,
exactly.
I don't get any of it.
You said that. You said
I want to meet the white person that helped Adam. Who was that white person?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Kimmel helped you.
What did I say?
You said, you're presuming I got lifted up the ladder. I don't feel the need to lift anyone up. If they're funny, I'll give them a shot. If they're not, I won't, but I don't have quotas to fill. I'm fine with the notion that there are genders and races that lean more to comedy than you
Which leads me to this, Adam. Thank you for the shot you gave me for being funny.
I lifted you up.
Yes, sir.
Well,
where would you be today?
Oh, man. I remember when I first met Adam, I grabbed scotch tape and pulled my eyes all completely back. And I go, now is your time to give me an opportunity. Give me my opportunity. I'm very funny.
I don't know.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I don't feel
please.
Listen.
Look, I can do this with my mouth.
Joe, if that is your name.
My name is a Joe.
The people who come to the clubs...
But please, please, Adam, watch this real quick. Look at my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Now look now.
It's closed.
Gone.
No, you just closed it.
No, it's gone.
No, you just closed it.
I cannot see my own hand.
All you did was make a fist, Joe.
Okay, now look now.
No, now it's open. Yeah, that's five fingers.
Five finger. Now look.
Well, it's four and a thumb, but now you just closed it.
It's gone.
Well,
please, Adam,
that
give
may
me
be
the
a form of magic for special needs kids, but I don't. This is. You understand the comedy clubs are predominantly.
Comedy clubs.
Comedy clubs.
Comedy.
Comedy.
Clubs.
Clubs.
Please, Adam.
No,
give me
Joe,
the opportunity.
Please, listen to me.
There's too many white commies.
I'm not saying you can't work there.
Just give
there.
One Chinese man
perhaps
a chance.
In the kitchen, maybe bussing tables.
I'm tired of cooking, Adam.
The stage.
I want to tell joke.
The stage is meant for the round eye.
Knock, knock, Adam.
Who?
Knock, knock.
Who's there? Who there? Who's there? Shit, I forgot to talk.
Okay, one more time. Yeah. Timing is all.
Yeah.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
It's me, Adam. It's me.
See, I don't.
What do you think of that?
I don't see. I don't.
Spectacular.
Understand that there's a certain country club mentality that comes to the shows. A certain blue, round kind of an eye that likes more your.
What about this eye right here? Very squinty.
We don't like different, you know?
Even though it's dark in the club, I still act like it's very bright.
Well, okay, Joe, can I say this?
Yes.
The number one thing they want comedians to do is to be relatable.
Oh.
Relatable.
Relatable.
So, what's that?
Very relatable.
Relatable.
Relay.
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 Relatable. Okay.
Well, so, you can identify with me.
So what I'm saying is, okay.
Yes.
I get up there and I do this whole bit on driving a Jag with the Napa leather package. And there a lot of head nodding and a lot of talk about it's confusing. The night nurse, the au pair, and the nanny.
Yeah.
Sometimes I confuse the three because they all look the same. And a lot of head nodding, smattering of applause.
It's the laughter of recognition.
When do you crash the car?
That's
when it's funny.
I'll do a bit. I do a whole bit on where do you find full service in L.A.? I sit there in my car for hours waiting for guys to walk up to it. And big laughs, a lot of stuff from hitting from the ladies' tees, a lot of guys nodding their head, clapping again. I don't feel like you can relate.
I don't understand anything you just said.
That's what I'm saying. Like your material would be about what?
Let me try one joke for you.
Okay.
What do you call slipper on a Filipino person's foot?
I don't know. What?
Flip-a-flop. I'm here all day. Tip your waitresses.
See, what I...
Please, tip your waitresses.
What I want to hear...
And then receive back massage.
I want to hear... I do a thing on a double-gated community that makes everyone laugh, because all of them are in a single-gated community, but I do this thing where I double it down.
No gates in my community.
Yeah, I do a thing about...
Are there chickens in your community?
Well, yeah, we have the folks cook them up for us. Yeah. I do a thing about, you know, when you fly first class United and they give you that hot cup of nuts? Burnt my hand on that little ceramic saucer one time.
Tried and true material everyone knows.
Yeah, yeah. So stuff they identify with, like my hot towel humor.
Like
it's more first class humor.
They don't have that in the middle seat in coach.
Huh? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So you want to be relatable. And I just don't feel like you have any common experience with the people in the audience. You see what I'm saying?
But don't you think you feel obligated to give me an opportunity?
I'll give you an opportunity to clear the table, but not to actually get up on stage with the microphone.
So sad.
I'm sorry.
Look at my hand.
Oh, yeah?
What?
You can't keep... That's not
gone.
An act.
It's gone.
You making a
no
fist
more
is not
hand.
An act.
I can only do that one time. Look at my other hand. It's gone.
All you do is,
cut both my hands off
when my children
for laughter.
When my children were infants, they would close their hands. They could do that easily.
Adam, here comes my closer. Look at my dick.
Oh, I can't see it from here.
Oh,
my God.
It is a gone.
This is not relatable.
One each penis gone.
Nobody's relating
just
to this.
Just laugh for me.
They're not relating.
Laugh.
I can't relate
to it. I can only do this one time.
You push your penis inside your body.
Oh, dear Lord, I have cut my penis off for your laughter.
I cannot relate to this.
What kind of white man are you?
I'm halfway into my nachos and I'm sick.
I have no head and I have no penis.
There's a two-drink minimum.
That is a funny.
And scene. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, given that very accurate reenactment, it's surprising you gave him his start in comedy.
So I simply say to everyone when they say to me, what about this group? What about that group? What about this group? They never print the part where I go, Asians are kicking our ass because they're studying their asses off and they're becoming doctors and lawyers, and I evidently not as interested in comedy.
Well, they got the killer no hand routine.
Or the culture. Like, here's the whole point. I'm guessing that my parents and Richard Pryor's parents didn't say, what? You're not going to be a doctor? But I have talked to certain Asians who have said, no, my parents wanted me to do this, and I went into that. I have the girl who plays my daughter in my movie is Asian, and she's an actress, and her parents are doctors, and they were not happy about her getting into acting. Yep. They wanted to push her toward getting her advanced degree. Good from a culture, because from a just statistical standpoint, and maybe they're too good at math. Maybe they know the statistics on the success rate of show business. Mm-hmm. But they try, like most parents do, to steer their kids toward professions that seem to be higher batting average on whatever. But this notion that you're just not allowed to say, oh, this group does that and that group does that. And I'm not saying why. And he does this thing where he goes, you know, I don't. You know, I won't tell you why the group, like they're missing an enzyme or something. I just go, look, it is what it is. There's, I don't, I, you know, Jews. They're, I don't know, 5% of the population, 7% of the pop. I don't know what Jews are, but they seem to be 50% of comedy. Well, I guess they like it. I guess they excel at it. That's their thing.
What is wrong with stereotypes? The stereotypes are true. I hate to say it. You know, it's generalizing, but there's a reason why it's a stereotype. If I tell you that I'm Filipino, the first thing that people always say is, oh, nursing? Because
right.
Everyone in my family is a nurse. Every Filipino that I know is a nurse. It doesn't matter if you're a male or female. That's just what they do. Just Filipinos get into nursing.
Right. Does it not bother you that people assume a host of things about you based on before they even it doesn't that never bothers you?
No, because I think the same way. I think that it would be stupid for me to sit there and go, that bothers me, but then if I think deep down inside I'm like, well, it is true. Well, it's like I have like 5 mailmen in my family and I got like 19 nurses and it's like there's the stereotype. Every Filipino's a mailman. Every Filipino's a nurse.
And a couple mailman nurses.
Yeah, if you can get that, that's like that's the president of the Philippines right there.
Because for me,
yes.
When people assume that they can make certain jokes with me and that I'm going to know what they're talking about, like I feel like there's a whole bunch of assumptions they make and it always makes me feel weird because I don't fit into that box that they are assuming I do.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm sort of disappointing them and then I just feel like I don't want to be seen as part of a group. Can't you just meet me?
Yeah.
But I mean, leave that mic for Elijah, please. Anyway, I know she don't get it.
Did it?
Yeah, I don't know. Look, by the way,
is it bad to say, hey, Jews run Hollywood?
Whatever it is, it is. I mean, every fucking article I get by the people who don't judge go, he's white, he's heterosexual, he's male, he's rich. Oh, so are you making assumptions?
Yeah.
Who else?
Yeah, they are.
Why me being white and male? It's incredible that you're doing a finger-pointing thing about you and your stereotypes, but you're constantly working in the white male part. My fucking white male, neither here nor there. Know anything growing up being white and being male. No programs, no anything. I cleaned a fucking garbage on a construction site. For the love of fucking Christ, I cleaned carpets before that. Jesus Christ. It's so, by the way, I'm your worst nightmare because I'm the guy whose mom was on welfare. I'm the guy who got the free lunch meals over at the school. I'm the guy who got the government cheese. And I'm the guy who picked up garbage on the construction sites. Yeah. And I'm the guy who was told you can't be an LA fireman because you're white male. You need to hang back for 8 years. So don't fucking try to paint me into this white privilege bullshit. I got two of the laziest parents on the planet, never got a fucking penny from any of them, and I never showed up to a construction site and went, oh, white guy, come here. You're going to join the other German guys and learn how to work the lathe. They went, here's a shovel. Go over there with the Mexican guys and start digging ditches.
Exactly.
That's my entire fucking life. And when it came to comedy, it wasn't like, oh, white guy, come up to the front of the line. No, everyone went to the open mic. Whoever got there first. That was it. Whatever color, whatever stripe you are. Well, why do we keep fucking banging this drum? And why are you banging it with me, you fucking pussies?
Yes!
I'm never going to buy into it. I lived it.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
It seems like Spore and
Holy
Joe...
shit, everyone's standing in here.
Mm-hmm.
That was good, Adam.
Well, Joe, you can probably speak to this. Like sports, it seems like comedy is like as close we can get to a true meritocracy, where if you're funny, you will rise up and people will buy tickets or buy your albums or whatever it is.
You're right.
Well, people
have done that.
Yeah, you're looking at them.
The other thing that pisses me off, as I said to the guy in the article, is I grew up watching and listening to Richard Pryor, like all other white kids I knew, talking about setting himself on fire, smoking crack. I didn't go, I don't identify with this colored person. I was like, this guy's funny. This notion of like, you need to see you on stage doing whatever it is, whether it's an astronaut or whether it's telling jokes. I understood Richard Pryor's black and he smoked crack and he set himself on fire. I didn't smoke crack, set myself on fire. I wasn't black. My mom, I didn't grow up in a brothel. He was just a funny guy.
Well, that's the thing. Yep. I sound like an ad right now. But we're more than just stereotypes. You recognize that there's a human being who's funny and that's enough to relate to.
Right. Again, Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, Chris Rock, whoever, they have millions of white fans, probably more white fans than black fans or whatever fans.
Wait, different guys?
They look the same, but
when Chris Rock, did Bring the Pain and he did the difference between niggas and black people, I mean,
I had my...
Everyone went crazy. No one hung him. Like, they didn't go, oh, Chris, how dare you say something like that. Everyone went, that's true.
My wife's now deceased friend, Jennifer, is a Jewish female who loved that bit, never stopped doing that bit. It wasn't like, well, I don't identify because it's not a fee, doesn't have enough fallopian tubing, and there's too much pigment in the skin. It's like, no, he's up there saying something truthful, funny, whatever it is. Why do we have to constantly keep getting back to this thing? So here's the upshot in the problem of the whole thing. The problem is everything is really just a setup job. Every interview you do, both sides, they just go, so why don't you think there's enough Asians in the, or why didn't they bring it, or what do you think about, blah, blah, blah. And then they grab the little quotes. Gary, there's more of this that's on the thing that I need to get to. And then they write it in a way that's sort of ambiguous. Like, you say nothing quotes, like, I don't know, how come there's no Asian comedians? Maybe they don't want to do comedy. I don't know. Is somebody holding them back? And then they go, oh, and they kind of leave it open-ended. Gary finished it with something.
Intro. As for the question of representation in comedy and why comics are so predominantly white men, Carolla suggested that Asian people specifically are less apt to become comedians due to unnamed deficiencies.
Yeah, not deficiencies.
Unnamed.
They study harder. They work harder. They're better in school. First off, find me a comedian who was an A student. Every comedian's got the same fucking story. I was a shitty student. I was a restless student. I was class clown. I was constantly getting called out of class and throwing shit. I was A student. No comedian that I've ever hung out with. Most of them never finished college. A lot of them didn't finish high school. That's not where they're at. They're not into studying quietly. They're into mouthing off in the back of the class. I wasn't bringing up deficiencies. I said to the guy, when he kept saying, you know, well, what about minorities? I said, Asians are minorities and they're kicking white people's asses. So what do you mean minorities? What minorities are we talking about? Not all the minorities. You can't even fucking pay people a compliment these days.
The unnamed deficiency thing is also kind of wildly irresponsible because you didn't name any deficiencies.
No!
He's projecting that you think they're deficient in some unnamed way.
I just said they're, I understand. I don't, look. There's certain people that play video games. There's certain people that don't play video games. There's certain people that are car guys. There's certain people that aren't car guys. I'm a nut for cars. Brian's not a car guy. I don't want to know what his deficiency is. I just assume that he likes movies and I like cars. Mm-hmm. That's fine with me. He doesn't have to be exactly the same amount of into cars as I am, or I be into movies, the amount that he's in.
Transforming cars.
Why do we demand that in every culture? But here's the problem. Here's the bigger problem. The bigger problem is this. Most of the comedians I know, and I've spoken to, guys like Jimmy Kimmel and, you know, Jon Stewart and guys like that, they just go, fuck it. I'm not talking to that guy.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it anymore. I'm not going to talk to NPR. Meaning, I'm not going to take my alternative viewpoints and go share it in this forum. Because I'm going to get ambushed, and then I'm going to get attacked, and then I'm going to get called a racist, and I'll just stay home. And so what it's done is it's polarized. You guys have done a fine fucking job, I'm talking about Salon and all you other asswipes, of polarizing everyone. Because everyone just goes, fuck it. I'm not going to go over there and get ambushed and then get my shit taken out of context. Yeah, like I said to him, like he said, well, what's wrong with Asians? Why aren't they funny? And I went, I got a million of them, but I can't tell you.
I think you know.
I think you know.
Do you want to know what the headline of the column is?
Mm.
Adam Carolla, the gay mafia is real.
God.
I told him, don't fuck with the gays. They'll come after you, man.
The comedian and author sounds off to Salon on political correctness and why Asians prove discrimination is a lie.
Well, I do agree with that, because if there was anyone to discriminate against, it'd be Asians, and they're kicking our ass. We're fine with it. Yeah. Yeah.
In comedy as well.
Yeah. There you go. All right. And then
let's not get carried away.
Then everybody.
You know what? Let's just pay tribute to the comics that are Asian. Let's do it on your show, and that'll squash this whole fucking thing. Let's play. Margaret Cho, Henry Cho, Bobby Lee. I like to call him Bobby Ree. Dr. Ken Jeong, Steve Byrne, Russell Peters.
Russell Peters. I don't know if I'm counting him.
He's Indian.
It's a continent of Asia.
That's like 1.7 billion Asians.
Ben Aziz is
Aziz?
Yakov Smirnov?
Yakov Smirnov, my favorite. Well, he was the Russian. That Russian part was closer.
The continent of Asia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, China.
Look, and then Margaret Cho had to take to Twitter and talk about me. Not fucking her. I don't know what the deal was.
Yeah, give me a moment.
All right. Where were we?
Okay, so Margaret Cho's tweet. So someone tweeted at her, "Hey, Margaret Cho, Adam Carolla thinks there are no Asian comedians," and then she retweeted, and it was a link to the article.
This whole thing where you go,
idiots.
But you know what else is driving me fucking nuts? Like when you go, listen, these Muslim extreme groups, not all Muslims are terrorists. And you go, no, I know. But what I'm saying is these extreme groups, but not every Yeah. Heard you. Understood. Talking in generalities here. And then they draw an example. I have a guy who I work with who's Muslim. Not a terrorist. Rarely shows up with an explosive vest. It's like, I understand. I understand. I also think it's understood that there's not a plethora of Asian comedians. Like, yeah, I know you can always pull out an example or five of something. That's a weird thing when you go, of course there's not no anything.
Yeah.
There is, I don't think look, American Indian comedians. I don't know of any American Indian comedians. There are some out there. I think it's safe to go, well, there are no American Indian comedians, and then you could name five of them, but that doesn't mean there's a lot of American Indian comedians.
Chief Dave Chappelle?
That's right. Well, why aren't there more American Indian comedians? I don't know.
Unnamed deficiencies.
There you go.
So then she said, Adam Carolla saved my life when drunk I tried to fuck him in the 90s, and he told everyone to shame me, and I stopped drinking for 10 years. And then a little bit later she said, I drunkenly hit on Adam Carolla, and he felt I was too disgusting to fuck, and so he ridiculed me on his radio show, led to my recovery, hashtag thanks.
See, there you go. Tough love. No, I didn't, by the way.
Hashtag you're welcome.
Dawson, this thing, too hot. Thanks. That's what I was pointing at earlier. That's me being condescending. Margaret Cho, as I've said on more than one occasion, showed up altered, high, drunk, something. And that was too much, Dawson, sorry. You did something bad there. Whoever it was before, put it back. Put it back to wherever it was. All right, thank you. So anyway, she showed up, put it this way. I used to sit next to Dr. Drew, and he would say, in the state of California, if you have sex with someone who's drunk, that's rape. Which to me, I'd always laugh because I'd go, wow, I must be on every fucking post office wall in North America because it's the only way I've ever had sex.
Most people have sex.
Right, that's the way you have, that's how you have sex. So she showed up, you know, like altered back when she was in the throes of her disease. And I had a full-time committed girlfriend, so I was not in any position to be screwing around with Margaret Cho, but she showed up and it was clear that she had an agenda. She said she wanted me to read a script, and it was also clear that she was a little out of her mind. And I sort of was polite to her and collected her and kind of turned her around, and she didn't drive. She walked to my house, which is weird because, she lived in the Inland Empire at the time, so it's like 27 miles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a long fucking walk. I mean,
heels or no heels?
That bitch was horny.
Yeah.
Flip-flops.
Flip-flops.
So I never said, like, she's too disgusting, I wouldn't fuck her or anything. That'd be fucking horrible.
Did you tell anyone to shame her?
No, I think, you know, it's funny, it sounded like I was telling people to shame her. I think what she meant is, I told the story.
Oh.
The full story is she came to my house. She was fucked up. She kind of made an offering. I kind of said, you're fucked up and maybe you should go home and think about this. And that was the exchange.
Yeah, you were being nice. You were saying, well, go home, sober up, because you might wake up tomorrow and go, did I really fuck you?
What would be the...
aren't you Adam Carolla?
What's the alternative? I just fuck her, and then my girlfriend comes over? I fuck someone who's altered and out of their mind? Like, what would a gentleman do? Like, you know
that's
what I'm saying?
That's a real no-win situation for guys. Because you don't make a move, the woman is always going to be angry. But if you do, that's probably not going to go well either.
I didn't know not fucking her would become a hate crime. So
not fucking her makes you a racist.
Right. So what happened was, is about 2 years later, maybe it was a year later, I can't remember, I was at Kathy Griffin's house at her Christmas party, and I walked in, and Margaret Cho was there, and she said, "Can I talk to you? I need to talk to you in private." And I said, "Yeah." And we just went into a bedroom that was covered, where they threw all the jackets on the bed or whatever, and we just sat there, and she said, "I'm sorry, I'm sober, and I wanted to apologize, and as part of being sober is part, whatever, nine steps. The step I tell Drew all the time, can't we skip that step? Like, I was in an elevator in New York last week, and they didn't have a 13th floor. It just went from the 11th or the 12th, skip the one from the 12th to the 14th. You know, it's bad luck. Can we skip that one where you have to confront everybody and tell them you're sorry and, spill all your sins out?" But she said, "I'm sober now. I'm sorry that I put you into that position." And I said, "No, it's no problem. I was I'm fine. I'm a guy. I'm used to, it's flattering and everything, but cool. And we're cool. And let's just go back to the party. I'm going to get a little drunker than I was. And you stay sober and that'll be that." And that was always just the story. That's exactly how it went. And I wasn't like, she's too ugly for me to fuck or any of that stuff. It was none of that. But maybe she felt at that time a certain way about herself. I have nothing against her. I'm glad she's sober. I hope she's still sober. I don't have any issues with any of that. And by the way, oh yes, me and the Asians. It's just so fucking insane. And I don't think anyone actually thinks any of this stuff is true, do they?
No.
I mean, does anyone think anyone? It's the best time ever. I've said many times, it's the best time ever to actually be a racist. Because if you were calling some comedian or somebody a racist now, I'd just go, "Oh, yeah, all right, there you go." Wouldn't mean anything because you're calling everybody that. All right.
You a few years ago, you had a problem with the Filipino community.
Yes.
And they used to come at
John
you like
Stewart told me, "Do not fuck with the Filipinos."
Yeah, yeah.
They just will fuck your shit up.
Nurses and mailmen, they'll fuck just your mail up you. And won't check you at ER.
Oh, and good Manny luck with that bedpan.
Yeah.
You want me to start your IV, Mr. Corolla?
Yeah, Corolla is here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sick, so if you go ahead and start that IV
really?
For
You're
me.
Oh, you're sick, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what? We don't have to help you.
Well, you know what? I think you do.
No, we do not have to.
Listen.
I'm the nurse here. I'm the head nurse.
I'm sorry what I said.
My name is Rosemary.
Rosemary?
Rosemary.
Oh, Rosemary?
Rose.
Sounds like a kind of chicken.
That is my name, Rosemary, and my assistant is Mary Beth.
All right. Well, can I ask?
And we are the acting nurses here at ER. And unfortunately, we cannot help you, Mr. Corolla. Sit in ER for a second.
Can I get Mary Beth in here instead?
1 second. She's coming right now.
All right.
Hi, I'm Mary Beth. How can I help you?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's Corolla.
Oh, no.
Hey,
but
we cannot help you.
Can I say this?
You cannot say anything.
I'm a fan of the Mexicutioner, Manny Pacquiao. I like that guy.
Oh, well, he is our Jesus Christ.
I understand. I'm a big fan. And I've made a few jokes.
And they were not funny at all.
They weren't funny?
They were not punny.
Oh, punny.
Punny.
Oh, funny.
Yes,
right.
Punny.
Yeah, no, understood. I talk a lot, and I'm just saying that, maybe the nation shouldn't live and die with one guy who's a boxer. You know what I'm saying? That's all. That was my only suggestion.
Well, then maybe you should die.
Oh, no.
You don't come into our world and now you want our help? Die.
Mary Beth.
I hope you die,
Rosemary
Mr.
Beth.
Corolla.
Rosemary's baby, Beth?
No, Mary.
Mary.
Beth.
Mary Beth.
Mary Beth.
Mary Beth. Mary Beth.
Just call me MB.
NB.
NB.
NB?
It's short for Mary Beth.
Oh, okay. Didn't you take some kind of Hippocratic oath or something to protect me?
What is Hippocratic? What is that?
That's an oath.
Hippocratic.
No, Hippocratic.
Why would you call me hippopotamus?
Oh, you're heavy set.
Who are you?
That wasn't what I was saying. Listen to me. Don't you take some sort of Hippocratic oath to protect me?
We have never taken a Hippocratics.
All right. I need a
that
doctor.
Word, change the word.
You know what? I know I seem very virile for someone who's clinging to
we
life.
We don't like your kind in here.
Don't listen to me. Chris Maxipata. You're Filipino, right?
Glad to see you taking John Stewart's advice.
What's your mom's name? Is it Mary Lou or Mary Beth?
My aunt's Mary Lou. That's my mom's sister. That's the truth.
And stereotypes live.
You can't.
I told you.
You can't. You cannot stereotype.
I didn't make that shit. How many nurses in your family?
My mom.
Look at that. Adam, see?
You can't. I'm sorry. Do not bring
that
in
saying?
Here. You see what I'm saying?
No.
Not. Hold on. Hold on.
Do you have a mailman in your family?
Hold on a second.
Do you have a mailman?
No mailman.
No mailman?
No real men in my family.
Though. Okay.
Well, his father was killed by a dog. Before that, he was a mail carrier. Yes.
When your mom says fuck you, does she say fuck you with a P?
Yeah, all the F's are P's.
Hold on.
Fuck you, Adam.
Hold on.
Fuck
I'm
you.
You know what? I'm going to prove.
Just because I'm Filipino, you can talk like that about me? Fuck you, Adam.
I'm going to prove you wrong.
Then
I'm prove you wrong.
For a bit.
I have what? At least 10 other people in this building.
Yes.
Now, somebody else's mother's a nurse, and somebody else has a close family member named Mary Beth.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Nobody? Well, I'm sure that that is just a crazy coincidence that
crazy.
You're able to guess that he was in the nursing profession.
Isn't that
nuts? And that there's a Mary. Well, not to me. That's a weird coincidence to me.
There's so many nurses that work with my mom, I don't remember who's related to me when I go to, like, to work parties.
That's the truth. That is the truth.
Why are there not more opportunities for Jewish Americans in the nursing field?
Because the
Won't you help them? Why won't
that
you bring them up?
That is not our job.
Bring them up.
You should be a comedian.
Bring them along.
Jewish people should be comedians. Filipinos should be nurses.
Why not open some doors for the Jews?
Why don't you open some doors
and
for the
American
Filipinos?
Indians to get into the nursing field?
Because
bring them up.
Because what we do is we see one Filipino and we go, come on, come in here. Be a nurse with us.
That clip from May of 2014. All right, we have one more clip for everybody. And this is from 2011. We're going to hear just a little slice of life of what it was like on the Adam Carolla show. We're going to hear the opening of the show and also some news from our newsgirl back then, Allison Rosen.
Adam Carolla Show 698 featuring actor Tim Griffin, not in this portion. He will be in part two playing tomorrow on the Carolla Classics feed. Make sure you subscribe to that feed so you can hear both episodes. Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop. This is November of 2011. Really good show opening, and we get some interesting, timely news. Check it out.
All right, where do I start? Well, over the weekend, I fucking rolled the dice. Came up snake eyes. I was invited, as you guys know, we had Amy Mann in here last week. She's a delight, and she's a boxing fan. I've watched fights at her house before with her husband and other friends, and they live about the same area I'm at. And perfect. It's on the same general area I'm at. And
Richmond Hill?
Yeah, and I said Mount Richmond. And I said,
"Why you bluff?"
I said, "I invited myself over to watch a fight," and she said, "I'm watching at my producer's house." And I said, "Oh, maybe I can go to that." And she's like, "Absolutely, go to that." So I'm like, "All right." And then it's one of those things where you get that email and you find out he's on 14th Street in Santa Monica, and it's like, I get angry at people who live in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
It's a great place, but it's so fucking far away, and then you start...
dare he let you invite yourself?
Yeah, you start doing the beer buzz, driving, math, like, oh boy, I'm going to end up in jail.
And you got to factor in a parking ticket, too.
Right, and and getting, you know, stepping on hobo urine and everything, and I said, it was one of those things where it's like, I'm definitely going on Friday, and then by Saturday morning, it's like, yeah, it's a coin toss, and then by the time Saturday afternoon / evening came around, it's like,
yeah.
But I said, you know what? This Pacquiao fight, yeah, it's going to be boring. Pacquiao's going to walk away with an easy victory, and I got the UFC on Fox, and Cain Velasquez and Junior Dos Santos, and those guys are great heavyweights, and this is going to be a death match. These guys are both good. This is going to be awesome. They're both unbeaten, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, I'm not going to be a sucker and drive across town and watch a boring fight. I'm going to stay home and TiVo the Fox fight.
Mm-hmm. Way to justify your laziness.
Fight was over. It was over a minute and 4 seconds in. But the knockout blow had been delivered about 55 seconds in. The next 9 seconds were a guy pounding on another guy's head while he's laying on the ground. So that took all of 65 seconds, and that baby was over. And then as soon as I turn on SportsCenter that night, it's like, oh, that was a hell of a Pacquiao fight. I'm like, all right, well, perfect. There you go. So I missed out on that. The other thing.
Sorry, I went to the cards, right? They went to the.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a good, told a very good fight.
I watched it, which is surprising because I don't know what the hell goes on, and I didn't want to watch it, obviously, and it wasn't my choice, but I watched it anyway. Sort of entertained. Question, though. You know how they put Vaseline all over their faces?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure this is a question at the forefront of every boxing fan's mind. How do they not break out all the time? Because if I slathered that kind of moisture on my face, oh, my God, zit city.
Well, Pacquiao has combination skin with an oily T-zone.
Okay.
I learned that from Max Kellerman during the pre-fight interviews.
He does ask the important questions.
Yeah, so he exfoliates, puts a mask on every night.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, doesn't spend a lot of time in the sun. Always use sunscreen.
That explains the Biore sponsorship.
Yeah. The tell me if this makes me an alcoholic or okay. I'm going to a sports bar, and I'm watching football all day with my buddies and going to happy endings. And last time I was there, I'm bugged by the little – actually, I'm bugged by the little, medium, and large things in life. But that's it. I limit it to those three.
Right, just the minutiae and the big things.
And I do the thing where I'm like, you know, what do you got on draft? And they're like, oh, we got Blue Moon on draft. And I'm like, ooh, I love, don't make, oh, fucking.
Sorry, buddy.
Get the fuck out of here.
It was a complete knee-jerk reaction.
What, did you pass gas or something?
Yeah, I made a face.
You made a face. Sorry. Okay, whatever. They have 10 beers on draft. I like draft. But it comes in a plastic cup. Clear plastic. Looks like glass, but it's plastic. And I don't like beer in a
plastic. Like the thick plastic glasses that are made to look like a pint glass.
Yeah.
Okay.
And cold. I like a It's one of those glasses that's supposed to look like a pint glass, but it's plastic.
But you
plastic.
Pick it up and throw it over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Because it's so light.
It's just so light. Your hand, you bang yourself in the forehead with it. I like glass. I like a glass bottle. I like a glass, drinking glass. I like the feel of it in my hand, but I also like, I like the cold. Like it holds cold. I remember when I was there last week, I said, we were upstairs watching the game. I said, you got any glasses back here? And they said, no, we might have one downstairs. And I said, I know I sound like a dick, but could you go downstairs and see if you got a glass? And they're like, they went downstairs and they came back up and they're like, no, just plastic. And I was like, okay. And today I brought my own glass.
Mm-hmm.
I got drunk and left it there, but I brought my own glass.
Well, it'll be there next time you go.
I'm sure it will be. I brought a glass. Now, what does that make me?
Seriously, you are an alcoholic.
Fastidious.
Yeah.
Particular.
I've
very
stolen
high
glasses.
Standards.
I've taken glasses in my younger days from bars, but never brought one to a bar.
How did they react?
Here's my... They didn't know it.
Well,
actually, they did. Actually, I just handed it to him. I think he thought it was a glass I had from the time before or something, but I just got there.
Uh-huh.
It was more walking in with it that made me feel weird.
Right.
I put it in my sweat jacket and sort of kept my arm over it like I was in a sling. I didn't want to, like, it's a glass, it's a big pint.
Uh-huh.
And it's heavy, so my one side is being pulled down, you know. It's swinging around.
Trying to sneak candy into the theater.
Yeah. It's weird trying to sneak a glass into a bar.
Right.
They shouldn't care. You're there to drink more of their product that way.
I know. It's all logical, but still embarrassing. And one of the many times where you don't want to be recognized, you know, like, what's up? So,
right.
But I claim, here's what I say. I love beer on tap.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, like, the beer pecking order is this. Worst thing is the bottle that's made of plastic that they serve you at the ball game. That's bad. Better just to have it in a paper cup at a kegger to me than that bottle. I don't like that plastic. I don't like the plastic oversized. Also, there's something sort of retarded about it, like a little Down syndrome, like
a
beer
we
bottle.
Don't trust you.
Like a beer bottle's got Down syndrome.
Sort of,
Well, though, you know when you see scissors that are rounded over on the end? It's that. It's kind of that version of a beer bottle.
Yeah.
So that there. That's the bottom of the beer-carrying barrel. Next, above that is a can. Above that is a bottle. And then above that is on tap. But once you go on tap and plastic cup, now you've dropped down back to the bottle. See what I'm saying? Like, I think I would rather have beer out of a bottle in a glass than beer out of a tap in a plastic cup.
I agree with that.
You with me?
That's absolutely right.
All right.
By the way, there's Maui Brewing Company is sort of a small brewing company in Maui, obviously. And if you guys get a picture of it, they have cans that describe on the back the micro canning revolution. And the micro canning revolution is their thing where, like, cans are better than bottles for all of these reasons. All the reasons are perfectly valid, except there's nothing about taste.
Right. You know,
you have this, like, they stack easier. They're easier to recycle.
Doesn't let the sunlight in.
Yeah, there's only sunlight. Keeps it colder. Technically, aluminum's right. colder than glass. Well, at the end of the day, the taste is really what sort of wins out.
And when you get shit-faced, you can't take an aluminum can, smack it on the edge of the bar, and then hold it up and yell, "Who wants
True.
Some? Come on." Which happened in every third movie I saw growing up and doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
A biker just taking that bottle, smacking on the end of the bar. Come on. I cut you. Come on. It just doesn't happen.
No.
It was like there was a law that it must. It was almost like a law that it had to be in every third movie back from 1966 to 1981, and then a law could never exist again.
Have you ever actually tried to do that with a glass bottle, and will it break in a way that will leave you with a weapon in your hand? Because I feel like I would do it. It either wouldn't break, or I would cut myself.
You'd end up cutting. You'd end up fucking. You'd end up. You know what?
Breaking a nail.
You'd be the guy at the bar went smacked it and yelled, "Come on!" And right as you smacked it, you'd then reach up and grab your right eye and yell, "Oh my god! Oh my god!" And you'd be rolling and writhing in pain on the ground, holding your eye, yelling, "Somebody call 911." That's what would happen. Now, I've had a beer bottle broken on me. I mean, thrown at me and broken on me, but it didn't do anything. I dodged a bullet. Well, I didn't dodge it that well. Broke on me, but it didn't actually physically harm me. So anyway, I brought my own glass, and I got drunk, and I left it at the bar. So I'll have to go retrieve that.
Now, is this your glass that says don't move or anything? Are there any telltale signs on it? Your lipstick?
No, it's not the one I have sharpied up that says don't touch. And as I've said, evidently I have a glass at home that was, I'll tell the story quickly because I've told it before. When does that ever stop me? But honestly, I had a Sparklets water cooler in my garage, and I had a cup that I put on top of the Sparklets water cooler in my garage. So I spent a lot of time in my garage wrenching around and sweating and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, there it is. Wow. Pretty good. And it's there, and it's like I use it, and the nozzle on the one side broke off. Long story. Anyway, I wrote don't touch on the cup because it kept getting bust upstairs and left in the sink, and then I'd be down in the garage and I'd be like, where's my cup? And I would argue that the cup capsized on top of the water cooler when the water cooler does not have any cups in the cup dispenser is enough to suggest leave it alone,
mm-hmm.
that is dedicated, that's a marriage.
I think so.
That's enough, but it was never enough. So, and I've told you guys,
it's like salt and pepper,
many times, and I've yelled at Mike Lynch many times, don't ever make a penny. Don't ever have an ounce of success so far.
Done.
Done and done. Mission accomplished. Yeah. Although I think he's taking it to heart. And I don't mean be destitute, but I'm saying you start hiring people, they start wandering around your house, and all they do is piss you off. Because
mm-hmm.
you go down to the garage on a Saturday, and you're like, where the fuck is my cup? Why is my cup missing? And who took it? And why would you? And it always, so I had to write on with a marker on it, do not touch. And then one day, I found it half full on the floor, just behind, on the ground, just behind where it is. Go to adamcarolla.com, you can see the picture. Just behind it, you can see Newman's car out in the background there. And I just said to him, what the hell is this on the floor for? And I don't know. And I said to my assistant, Jay, why is my cup half full and on the floor? I don't know. Who would fill my cup halfway and set it on the
half
floor?
Half empty, really.
Half empty, oh yes. And put it on the floor, and he said, I don't know. I got no idea. I got no answers for you. And then he stopped and he went, your buddy John came by. And I went, yeah? Why would he fill my cup and put it on the floor? He had his dog with him. Yeah? He did ask at a certain point if we could get water for his dog. I'm like, are you shitting me? You fucking took my cup? And as I say all the time with all this stuff, it's never the fact that he decided to let his dog drink from what was clearly my drinking cup sitting on top of my Sparkless bottle. It's the fact that he didn't put it back.
Yeah.
Like, do the move where you fucking dump, you know, take the water and you dump it in the bush, right. And then you take the sleeve of your shirt and you kind of wipe it down a little and you put it back. You
hide the evidence.
You look right, you look right. Left, and you set it back. Yeah, just let it on the floor. By the way, I really want to know, from a just straight-ahead human being wiring standpoint, I will reach on top of a cooler, I will grab a cup, I will fill it, I will put it on the ground, I'll let my dog drink out of it, and then I will leave.
Mm-hmm.
Something up there?
Yeah, because it's not a cup dispenser, right? Like, I'll use this cup and it'll be done. That's clearly someone's cup that gets used on a semi-regular to all-the-time basis.
And clearly they have strong emotions about it. They wrote on it.
Do not touch. So all I'm saying is don't ever have an ounce of success if anyone's listening, because all you'll be is pissed off. You'll just be pissed off. Yep. Everyone will come to your house, borrow your shit, borrow your money. By the
borrow
way, the more people borrow money from you, the more pissed they are. There'll never be a thanks. There'll never be a pay you back. There'll never be, you won't get a Christmas card. You'll just get the fucking money. And if one time you don't come through for them, they'll tell you to fuck right off.
Steve Wozniak seems pretty happy.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think he knows he's rich.
So you think the more you give them, the more they expect? Like that just keeps resetting the baseline?
People do what chicks do with engagement rings emotionally with money they get from you.
Huh?
Real easy. I'm not going to use you because you're going to fuck with my point. If you're a chick who dates a guy who drives a forklift, and that guy proposes marriage and hands them a $1,200 engagement ring, the chick is pretty fucking satisfied with it. If you're the aforementioned Steve Wozniak, or you're some guy who's a high-powered attorney, and you offer a $1,200 ring, the chick is pissed.
Mm.
Is it the ring? It's how much can he afford? And when people borrow money, when they borrow money from a guy who makes $40,000 a year, and that guy gives them $4,000, that's a big fucking deal. And when you're a rich guy and you give them $4,000, they don't bother paying you back.
Right.
Why?
Who gives
a shit? It's nothing to you. And if you bring it up, it'll be like, what? Can't fucking cover your nut this month? So you get nothing back the same way as you get nothing back. It's still a $1,200 ring. It doesn't matter
right.
if a billionaire bought it or a poor forklift driver bought it. But everyone does that math.
Mm-hmm.
They do it immediately. They err on their own side, by the way, quickly. Yeah. They just go, well, fuck, it doesn't need to be paid. Oh, no, I've never get paid back by anybody. I've never have, ever. And it's all loosely based on, well, he doesn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't bother them, then that's it. And if you bother them, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
So, anyway, enjoy. Enjoy going for the brass ring, everyone. Enjoy your life. All the fucking strangers running through your house, confounding and fucking with you. All right, now listen. I have been saying and have said and have never stopped saying for the last, it feels like 20 years, but it's probably been about 6 years, raise the height of the upright on the goalpost. I can't stand seeing more balls go over the top of the goalpost. I can't tell if they went in or they went out. It's fucking up the game for me. And no, this is the wrong field goal attempt, but let's see it anyway. The Falcons game had one early. Don't tell me this one went.
End of the first half, right?
Yeah, end of the first half. Thank you for listening, but we'll watch him. Well, that one, they could have used it as well, though that one was it. All right, you got to find the end of the first half and listen when I say end of the first half. End of the first half, although they could have raised it on that one as well that we mm-hmm. just saw. Poor Brian's USC lost 2 weeks ago to Stanford in a kick that was probably wide right. And if there was a post, it probably would have hit it. And if it would have hit it, it would have caromed off. And SC would have won the game. But yet the 6-year-old dude with the cataracts was directly... I don't know. You're looking up into the night sky, and you're looking at something that is... That ball passes by that point. It's a point in time that's an instant. It's a tenth of a second. Because as it goes wide, it the problem... Here's what I think. Here's what's going on. It's traveling from right to left or left to right, because oftentimes they kick from the center of the field and the ball is heading wide. So if the guy looks straight up and then he's just standing there looking straight up the pole, you get a pretty good idea, but it ain't science. And everything in football is replayed now. I mean, if a guy has half a small toe out of bounds, the touchdown gets waved off and what have you. Why not extend it? The guys have so much leg, the ball goes over the top, and it could be solved with a trip to Home Depot, 8 foot of post, and a can of yellow spray paint, and it's done.
And don't we have enough space-age materials now that they could put something light up there that both would stand, if the ball hit it, it would carry him off, but also it wouldn't, like I imagine well,
here's
the problem
my, here's
is
my,
it would drag
there's no
the,
problem. What is the height of a goalpost right now,
oh,
Paul
Christ,
Bryan?
35 feet?
Yeah. No, it's probably 28 feet.
Oh, I'm way off.
Well, the point is...
I thought
is,
you liked sports, Brian.
Here's my point. I don't know, and you don't know either.
Sure, sure.
And back in the day, it was 12 feet, and then it went to 18 feet. And
we'll
now it's,
a, back.
It's
yeah,
probably
yeah.
24 feet now, or maybe 28, 24, 28 feet. So make it 35. Who the fuck's going to know the difference?
Sure.
Why are they making... Why is there an... Why did it start shorter than it is now?
Well, it's
are people throwing harder, higher?
Oh, boy. They're not. They're kicking.
Mm. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to start with this.
Let's start with a light beating, and we'll move on from there. No, the point is they started off short because the guys who kicked were kicking. They weren't sidewinders. They were just kicking straight footed, and there were guys who were playing tackle all day and strong side tackle and defense and offense, and they'd kick the ball and they'd barely make it over the.
Well, there's that, and you know the modern day. You know what a field goal looks like, right? It starts in the back, it curves up, and then goes straight up with the uprights. In the old days, there were just posts in the end zone, and guys would run into them and crash and hurt themselves. But there, I imagine the materials didn't exist back then to make lightweight, yet flexible piping.
No. They didn't need it. I mean, look, they had anyone who wants – well, I'm sorry, but anyone who wants to know anything about technology, in World War II, they had ball turret gunners in – B-27s or whatever the hell that were in B-28, B-27s, ball turret gunners, which were guys with 50 caliber machine guns in a Lucite bubble underneath an airplane that turned right, you know, left, up, down. I mean, that's 1943 technology.
Mm-hmm.
By 1961, we had the technology to go up another 4 feet of worth of goalposts. We always had it. It just wasn't necessary. Guys didn't have that much leg. And then at some point, their legs got stronger. Sebastian Janikowski, I mean, when he's in Denver, that he can kick a 70-yard field goal.
Mm-hmm.
He can. He hasn't, but he can. When he has to kick a 31-yard field goal, that fucking thing's going out of the top of the stadium. And if it goes over the top of the upright, you're not going to know, especially if it's 12 feet over the top of it, whether it was in or whether it was out. We'll find the clip from the first half.
There should be little cameras on the top of the uprights.
It wouldn't hurt. Like I said, the Falcons game, the SC game. Both, and there's nothing to check, and they have a competition committee, and every year they talk about things. And one of the things I complained about in the past with the competition, and you'll know that everything I complain about will come to fruition, mm-hmm. everything. And it's not because I'm Nostradamus, it's because I make sense, and other people are fucking nuts. I said for a million years during overtime, the toss of a coin. That's going to decide who's going to, and then they go down and kick a 45-yard field goal, and the game is over.
Yes, Allison, the reason this doesn't make sense is because the winner of the coin toss, the first guy to get the ball in overtime, wins, what is it, 60, 70% of the time?
It's not that they win an incredibly high percentage of times. It's that they can march the ball down 30 yards, kick a field goal, and end the game. I said, your first possession, you shouldn't be. If you kick a field goal, the other team should be able to get a crack at it, because there's nothing less satisfying than the guy returns the ball out of the end zone to the 25 or 30. Then there's a pass interference call, and next thing you know, the other team's just kicking a field goal and heading back to the locker room with their hands victoriously held above their head. So, and the point is, I said, if you kick a field goal, the opposing team gets a crack. If you punch it into the end zone, game over. But if you kick a field goal, fuck it, because there's a big difference between kicking a field goal and punching it in. And they've adopted that for the playoffs now. They will give the
Did
other team.
Did they give you credit?
Corolla corollary.
Yes, it'll never happen. All right, we'll find that piece of footage from the first half. All right, where the hell were we? You got some news?
I do.
What's going on? I want to hear about this.
My first story is a sports one, actually.
Well, good. Allison Rosen. She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison.
Allison. Penn State played Nebraska on Saturday. Yeah. Nebraska won 17-14, and Nebraska.
They always lose. Whenever everyone gets together and prays, the team that prays the hardest loses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. More than that.
Nebraska's coach Bo Pelini told the media after the game that he thought it never should have been played.
Bo Pelini sounds like a type of Italian cold cut.
Yeah. Yes, or gelato.
No. Nah, cold cut.
Okay.
Yeah. I have the Bo Pelini.
Give me a Bo Pelini sourdough, please. Hold the onions.
We got a roll. Why don't we have sourdough? We have an Italian roll. And we have...
You're out of the sourdough. I always get here too late. Stupid makes me work through lunch.
I'll tell you what, we'll double down on the provolone.
Ooh,
not polite provolone, is it? It's regular provolone?
Regular provolone.
Full fat provolone?
Yeah.
All right, you win this round, Corolla.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. What did Bo do? Bo said too soon?
He said that he felt that the game shouldn't have been played, and he gave a press conference, or he spoke to the media, and we have a clip of him talking about this.
I'll be honest with you. Going into the football game, I didn't think the game should have been played. And, you know, for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, I just think, you know, in the end, I think, you know, I look at my job as a football coach is to educate and to prepare the kids who come in the program for the rest of their life. And that's what we are. We're in the university system. And I thought that this gave us an opportunity. I thought that, you know, the situation that's going on is bigger than football. It was bigger than that game that was just played. It was bigger than the young men in the game who would have missed it had they called it off. And, you know, and it's about education, about people keep putting in perspective what the situation was all about.
All right, but now that you won, right? Now that you won, you're glad you played, right?
You can stop the clip.
Yeah. Bo Pelini?
Yeah. Of the cold cut fame. He went on to say, I don't know what the specifics of the situation, and I'm not judging anybody, but the fact is young kids were hurt, and that's a crime in itself. It is a lot bigger than football, the NCAA, the Big Ten, and anything else.
It can't be bigger than the Big Ten. Big Ten's got the word big right in the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm. It's a big scandal, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think that at least that's why I think going in the game shouldn't have been played. So,
yeah.
What do you think? Fair. I mean, people were holding up signs saying, think of the victims, and the signs were getting destroyed, and there was so much anger at anyone who said anything.
Who was destroying the signs?
Fans. Well, Penn State. I think everyone who is supporting Penn State right now, because they feel like the players shouldn't be punished. They didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they.
They're very uncharitable to anyone who has anything to say. Like put the kids first.
Well, they don't want Joe Pa punished. They don't want Joe Paterno punished,
right?
Because they feel like he's a legend. He's you know, as big as it gets.
He's revered.
He's revered. The whole town's sort of built around the coach. It's very weird if you come from out here because we don't have anything that's like that.
Mm-hmm.
But over there, it's massive and. They don't like him being punished for it. And there's that thing of, like, I'm always sort of half in between this stuff because I do try to honestly assess, like, what would I have done in this situation? And I probably would have told whoever I was supposed to tell, and then I would have gone back to practice, like, and assumed that they would be... deal with it.
Right.
And I'm sure it'll keep unraveling and it'll look worse for everyone involved. But, you know, that thing where you go, all right, I'm going to tell the athletic director what's going on, who's, you know, I'm a coach. I'm not an administrator. I'm a coach. Mm-hmm. He's an athletic director or whatever the title is that he has. He's now obliged to do something about this, and I probably would have just gone back to whatever it is I was doing after that. But I'm sure this thing's going to get deeper and deeper and worse and worse for everyone, and people, especially Joe Pa as
well. People are also angry at McQueary, wondering why he didn't try to stop it. So that's another sort of mental exercise. What if you walked into the shower and you saw some guy who's your coworker and who's also revered and liked, and he's raping a 10-year-old boy? What would you do?
Yeah, well, there you definitely have to chuck a bar of soap at him or something. I don't know if it physically cost him, but I'd just do what Ray used to do to us when we'd be in the showers at North Hollywood High. He'd grab a bar of soap, and there'd be five guys in the corner, and he would wing the bar of soap in that direction as hard as he could possibly throw it. And you can kill a man.
It's hard, yeah.
Oh, if that thing hits you in the nuts or in the forehead, you're fucking going down. And it'd be funny because it'd be five naked guys all attempting to push the other guy, use the other guy as a human naked shield. While Ray held up this bar of Dove.
Right.
Yeah, it was awesome. Later on, Ray did bust off a bottle of shampoo, much like we're talking about busting the beer bottle over the thing, and stabbed some guy in the ass with it.
Oh, my God.
And I know it's not the Ray you know.
Jerry Sandusky thinks this is gay.
Yeah, I know. And Coach Nielsen did walk in and see it and told Ray to knock it off. But he called him an asshole or something.
I'm impressed that you guys had shampoo.
It wasn't mine. I don't know who brought that in. Yeah, it's contraband.
There's a story in the LA Times about how the Los Angeles Board of Supervisors is throwing its weight behind a bill in Congress to reduce noise from helicopters overhead. The Hollywood Bowl in particular is suffering from the noise, saying the interruptions come multiple times each concert. Mm-hmm. The bill by Representative Howard Berman calls for new regulations to reduce helicopter noise pollution in residential areas with an exemption for emergency law enforcement and military helicopters. The bill is patterned after an amendment passed this year by the Senate authorizing the FAA to draft regulations for helicopter noise abatement over Long Island.
Here's the bill I would like passed. I like the bill passed wherein the cop helicopter, like when you're home on a Friday night, and it's like 10:30, and all of a sudden you see that spotlight, and the guy's just circling, and he's circling, and you notice it because it comes over your house or your place, and then you look out the window and you see the spotlight. And it's always, what the fuck is going on? Right. I want them to get on that fucking bullhorn, and I want to know.
Yes.
Like, I want to know if there's a bank was just robbed, and there's a guy with a fucking piece running around, or it was just an accident, or we got a drunk driver.
Creepist.
Or there's a bobcat on the loose. Like, I'm always doing that. What the fuck? And they circle, and they circle, and they circle, and then they just go away.
I know, and you never know.
Is there a serial rapist who's now hiding underneath a shrub 10 feet from my window that somehow, or did they catch the guy? And why circle 10 times and then just split?
Yeah.
Like, what did we accomplish here?
You can't hold still.
Yeah, I didn't see anything going on. Like, there's no cop car showed up. What were you looking for? I want to know. I know some way of just like, you know, I want some version of, do I fucking pull the gun out of the safe, or do I put a chair in front of the front door, or do I just go back in and
crack another
cold one?
Do you pull in your saucers of milk?
Right. What do we got here? Mm-hmm. That's what I want to know. Because I can never figure it out, and it's never satisfying. It's like they're circling, they're gone.
The FAA says it works with helicopter operators and community groups around the country to find ways for these aircrafts to operate safely and with minimal community noise impacts. The Helicopter Pilots Association, though, says restricting flight paths for the sake of noise, quote, could substantially decrease safety when many different aircraft types, which travel at different speeds, are no longer separated but are pushed closer together in the airspace. That's classic Pilots Association chatter.
Yeah, I don't know. Who gives a shit? But yes, I agree.
Well,
it's a lot
I would have thought you would give a shit because it's noise.
Oh no, I do, and I live up around there, and I have to deal with the helicopters. And
are a lot of these like tourist helicopters?
Yeah, there's like, hey, let's go look at the Hollywood sign, let's go look at the Hollywood Bowl, that kind of stuff. And I do get a lot of that. And I'll tell you where it really fucks you up. It really fucks you up when you're filming something.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea what goes on with noise pollution until you actually try to shoot something, and especially if you shoot something outdoors. When I did my NBC pilot, we shot outside in like sort of Valley Village, North Hollywood, just literally just a few blocks away from where I grew up. and you'd be out in the driveway, and it'd be like, and action. And you'd take one step up the driveway, and cut. And the sound guy has his headphones, cans on, and he'd be like, yeah, we got a flight. We got a plane. Small plane. And then there's the leaf blower. I've never been on a shoot where somebody wasn't dispatched to go find the guy with the leaf blower and tell him that, could he hold it down?
Right.
Could just stifle himself? Here's $20. Don't do it for 20 minutes or something like that. And the part that really fucks you up is if you're doing a scene where it's like, here you come pulling up in your truck, park the truck, get out of the truck, walk up the driveway, start your dialogue, and then the helicopter, then the leaf blower, then the flight from Burbank Airport. And they don't figure it out. Like, where we shot was right under a Southwest Airlines flight path from Burbank going to Sacramento, going to San Francisco, going to the Bay Area, going to Oregon, Portland, wherever. And every 4 minutes, there's a fucking flight leaving, and you have to shut it down. Somebody who does location scouting should kind of work on that.
They should. All and right. The LA Philharmonic should move, because apparently it's five times a concert. And in 1985, the conductor just stopped the concert and walked off for like an hour and a half. And rumor has it he may have broken his baton. He was that pissed. And two more interesting things. The LA Philharmonic, they turn on spotlights. And they're not, it's not like, woohoo, look what's going on. The spotlights are to alert helicopters to stay away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think it works. And then also, the other thing that is the competing noise interruption are all the peacocks at the LA County Arboretum.
Really? Although they're louder than shit.
I haven't heard them.
I have seen them up on top of the trees over at the Playboy Mansion. And always ask how they get up there, and no one ever has an answer. Watch me. There would be at the top of an 80-foot tree, just full peacock. I'm like, they fly up there? I don't know. How long have you worked here? 21 years. How'd the peacocks get up there? Don't know. I guess they fly.
When you're surrounded by Playboy bunnies, your first priority isn't to observe the peacocks.
I guess so.
You want to have your eye on the cocks.
I got no fucking answer.
Kim Kardashian is firing back at the former publicist who has been making claims that her wedding was a sham.
What?
A guy by the name of Jonathan Jackson has been doing a media tour to promote his book and
saying,
"You don't
drag the good name of Kim Kardashian through the mud like that."
Yes, how dare you?
Yeah, he will pay.
Yeah.
He's saying that Kim never wanted to marry Chris Humphries and that her wedding was all staged. Jackson claims he knows this because he did PR work for her, but Kim says they worked together once years ago on a blog and she barely remembers who he is.
All right, but your wedding did not make it to the 3 month mark. It didn't make it to the 2.5 month mark. Isn't that just a by proxy sham? Yeah. I mean, I know it's not, maybe not an intentional sham, but
well,
this is my stupider liar or drunk or not drunk. If you're Kim Kardashian, you should say it was a sham, because if this is your attempt, actual heartfelt attempt at a relationship, and you can't string together 2.5 months, you're a fucking failure.
Right. This would be a good time for, I meant to do that.
Right. You should be saying that, because you're in a fucking world of hurt if this is you attempting to be in a relationship.
And also, why aren't they just getting it annulled? Why an actual divorce? Can't you get something annulled when you've only been together this long?
I feel like, first off, if you have money, you can get shit annulled if you've been together for 30 years. It's all about...
You can get someone aborted at age 35.
That's right. You got to hire the right drifter. But yes. I don't... Of course
very
you
late
get
term.
I'm really... All right. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's give
okay.
a fuck.
So...
Where's my Falcons game? It's driving me nuts now. Not that it's going to mean anything.
As part of their brief time together, Kim had... She says she had him sign a confidentiality agreement, which Kim feels he is violating now.
So next story.
Hired.
Next.
Okay.
Right,
anyway.
Good. Who gives a fuck?
Well, here's a story about violence among the elderly. An elderly woman.
Finally, something I can beat off to.
An elderly woman. An elderly woman was found lying dead in a pool of her own blood yesterday in the Mar Vista apartment that she shared with her husband.
No. I lived down the street from there. I used to.
Where were you?
Well, do you know
Washington?
81-year-old Ann Weiss?
Well, he's not going to admit it.
Because she's dead now.
I bet
or
he does.
Her 97-year-old husband.
How old? Blood,
97.
Lou? Good guy.
97. Police say she died from a blow to her head, and her even more elderly husband is the prime suspect. Police were called in to investigate the death of Ann Weiss yesterday. Her husband, Milton Weiss. Milton, do you know Milton?
I love an old guy with an old guy name.
I know.
I love
like
that.
Like a Murray.
Yeah. It's going to suck in a few years when we have like Cody.
Right.
Old man Cody.
Yeah. And I'm going to visit my grandfather, Lance.
Dakota and Cody and Todd and shit like that.
Aiden.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Her husband, Milton Weiss, has been arrested and will undergo a psychiatric evaluation before being arraigned on Monday. Mm. A neighbor said she was stunned, but said that Anne had noticed that something was wrong with her husband before she died. Quote, his personality was sort of changing in a way. Anne felt that he would get irritable about things that she didn't feel were justified. Well, he was 97.
Got to get that animal
have a right
off
to
the
be
street.
Yeah.
What, by the and time the court stuff's done and you enter the joint at 99, well, how's that work?
This is going to become one of those whatever happened to that guy who, remember, this is 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to that guy, the old guy, who drove his car through the Santa Monica farmer's market?
Yeah.
There was like an outrage and then nothing.
Yeah, that dude, by the way, that guy drove his car through the Santa Monica farmer's market hitting like 88 people. Oh, like
he accelerated.
It wasn't like, I mean, first off, I feel like it takes a lot of work to hit 12 people in your car. I mean, that's a good weekend of driving right there. He hit some fucking number of people that is just more people that show up at an average high school football game. Like I mean, I swear to God, I think he hit like 80-something people. Now, he died. God rest his soul.
Less than a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he never did time, or he was too old to do time, or he went in, or he paid. I think the problem with that dude is he didn't have a lot of remorse.
Yeah, he ran over the people, and then like with people on his hood and in his wheel wells, he was like, got out of his car. I was like, what's up?
Oh, he was like yelling, you kids get off my hood. You babies get off my bumper.
Jesus Christ.
What
happened to that guy?
He died.
Yeah, but in jail?
He drank
a bunch of people.
I know.
I swear to God, he hit like 80 something. We'll get some sort of crazy. Maybe it was 60 something. Whatever it was, it's a number that's mind numbing. But first, we'll get the Falcons.
Yeah. Advertising age.
This old guy kicked a field goal in the Falcons game.
Advertising Age has a story about the most popular brands among Democrats, Republicans, and independents. Mm-hmm. And Democrats like Google, Amazon, Discovery Channel. Those are the top three for them.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans enjoy Fox News Channel, Fox, and the History Channel. And independents said History Channel, Discovery Channel, and Google. And then, I have the top 10 for all of them.
All right, so those are channels, yeah.
Yeah, but then five brands appear on all three groups' top 10. Discovery Channel, Johnson & Johnson, Cheerios, the History Channel, and Clorox.
I'm sorry, I'm looking, trying to figure out how many people the guy hit. Did it say how many people the guy hit? Yeah. Look, whoever's, please. Democrats, they don't have Craftsmen on their thing. Cheerios. They both have Cheerios. They both have Discovery Channel, M&M's. We need to know
Clorox.
Whether
Clorox. Everyone likes Clorox.
Yeah.
I don't have a favorite bleach.
They're all the same, but we need to know whether that's peanut M&M's or regular M&M's. But independence, John Deere, I like that. Craftsman. Craftsman is in the fourth place.
Is that Snap-on?
Nope. Snap-on is Snap-on, and Craftsman is Craftsman. Yeah, totally different. I mean, they both make hand tools, but
But there's something something's an imitation of something. I know like two things about tools.
Ah.
This is hitting on one of them.
63. So, 10 people had been killed in 63. So do we add the 10 to the 63? So we hit 73 people?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
what was he
driving? Some of those probably fell running out of the way, Adam.
But if he's in the joint and he's sitting next to Tex Watson, and like Tex Watson's like, yeah, I killed the Tates and the LaBiancas, and he's like, yeah, how long did that take you? Well, it's over the course of a couple of days, and what's your body count? It's like 7 people. Interesting. Killed 10 people and injured 63, and I was on my way.
Yeah, but how long did that take you?
5 minutes.
What?
Yeah. Anyway, next.
Did you have a machine gun?
Next. Jesus Christ.
So he never served any time because they determined he was too ill.
Oh, yeah.
And he spent the rest of his days apparently in his home in like 24-hour nursing care.
I feel like the take home is if you want to do anything violent, wait until you're sick or you can convince people you're sick.
My thing is, whether you're driving over folks at a farmer's market or bringing down a 747 over Lockerbie, you're never too sick to die in jail.
It's beautiful.
That fucking Lockerbie thing, I'm still, I mean, it's the kind of thing we get outraged over Alec Baldwin calling his daughter a piggy, but we don't really care that much about the guy who brought down the plane with 240-something people in it over Lockerbie getting let out of jail to spend the next couple of years living in a villa. That doesn't outrage us.
Well, that guy's not a celebrity.
Our fucking outrage-o-meter's completely fucked up in this country. The idea that fucking guy got let out in prison and then got to return to a hero's welcome and live his last few years, and I think he's still alive, I can't remember, but live his last few years in a fucking luxury villa is fucking insane. Insane to me. You can talk about... talk about Charlie Manson all you want. Charlie Manson took 7-8 lives and wasn't even there. This guy took out 250 people. Nah, no problemo. Let's let him out.
Welcome home with the hero's welcome.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, hero's welcome. Fucking fire up the Predator drones. Let's keep it going, people. Yeah, go to meeting. Yeah. Sorry, I'm PO'd. Should we hold off the news until the end?
Sure. That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. I'm better than that, but zip it, cunt.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
All right. Tim Griffin out there from Prime Suspect and Born Supremacy, Iron Man, Abduction. A lot of movies. Builds houses. Built 14 homes here in L.A. We got to talk shop. We'll take a quick break. Tim Griffin in next.
And that clip was from 2011, and that will do it for today's episode of Corolla Classics, but please tune in tomorrow to hear the rest of that clip and some more by subscribing to the Corolla Classics feed and getting our special Sunday episodes. All right, that'll do it. Thanks again for listening. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Super Fan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.